Alrighty, hour number two of our radio program. That's right, Zach Yelp Show, CBS Sports Radio. Derek Carr to the Saints. Geno Smith back to the Seattle Seahawks. And we'll continue to see what other QB news will continue to unfold in not only the next few days, but the next several weeks as we're waiting and waiting and waiting for the Packers to finally say, yeah, we want to trade Aaron Rodgers. Or Rodgers to say, I want to be traded. Outside of that, it's pretty much, well, we think we know what Rodgers wants to do. We think we know what the Packers want to do. But right now, we're in a good old-fashioned staring contest. And somebody's got to blink first. But it's actually pretty impressive, Hickey, how neither side has blinked yet, even though we think we know that Rodgers is content now in leaving the Green Bay Packers. And we know Gutekunst and company, they want to turn the page and they want to go to Jordan Love, but for whatever the reasons are, they're being afraid, they're being apprehensive to say that in this stupid negotiation games, where really, I don't even know how much negotiating there is, as we talked about in the last hour.
Well, the good news is the soft deadline that the Packers instituted for Aaron Rodgers to make a decision is next Monday, the 13th, which is the start of the unofficial tampering, I guess the official at that point, tampering period. So we should have an answer one way or another. Someone's got to blink. This time next Monday. You hope it's, again, done before that time, but someone has to blink by the time free agency rolls around. So the good news is the calendar should help us get an answer quickly.
How does this end? Does Rodgers go on McAfee? Does Rodgers release a statement with the Packers? I really think that unless Rodgers goes on McAfee and says, I'm donezo with them, which would be nice of Aaron to do. Not that Pat needs any help. But I really think this has to be done by the Packers. I really do believe the Packers have to come out and say, we love Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers will ever call, right? One of those crappy lines, Green Bay and Lambeau Field home. He has a spot already reserved for him in the Ring of Honor. He'll get his Hall of Fame ring here in Green Bay. But it's just time for us to usher in the next chapter of Packers football, and that's going to Jordan Love. Like, whatever they want to say, they got to be the ones that come out first and say this is over. Because for Rodgers, what does the perception matter for him? Like, if Rodgers wants out, I don't think anyone's going to say, like, oh, screw you, Aaron Rodgers. I don't want to be a part of the Green Bay Packers anymore. I think we all understand the Packers want to move on from him. Where for the Packers side, I think there's more to lose here. If they're the side that has to say it first, and Rodgers kind of, I would think, is cognizant of that. And Rodgers is like, don't give anyone a reason to hate me more. Let the Packers. The Packers made their bed. They doubted me a few years ago. I already won two more MVPs after that. You could chalk this year up to injuries, right, and all that, even though they should have still made the playoffs, and it was a bad look for Aaron Rodgers. But there's more to lose here on the Packers side than there is for Aaron Rodgers. If you're the one that has to say it first, and that's why there's no doubt in my mind that this is going to be I don't know how they're going to say it. I don't know how it's going to be issued, but we haven't heard basically anything from Rodgers recently, which makes me think that this is going to be the Packers who are going to have to wave the flag here first.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Do you really think the Packers, like, if they are the ones to say, you know, we're done with Aaron Rodgers, is most of the fan base angry at them?
That I don't know.
But I would guess no.
That I don't know. I think it's easier to move on from him, even though you won't get more in return if you did so after one of the MVP seasons. Coming off a year where there's been a lot of drama and you lose to the Lions twice, even though the Lions are ascending and you miss the playoffs outright, I think there would be fewer people mad, and I think people eventually just get fatigued to now this being a yearly song and dance for the last 3 years. But I still do think there is a contingency of people. I don't know what the number is, but let's just like say it's like 30%, 35% that I do think would be mad, because you look at Rodgers, and we know a lot of Packers fans have made excuses for Rodgers. What's one more year of an excuse with the way that this past year just ended? And you still look at the guy as a guy that's won a Super Bowl, is one of what, the top 10 greatest quarterbacks to ever do it, is going into a Pro Football Hall of Fame. And there is probably people that still don't think Jordan Love is going to be any good, and still annoyed from 2-3 years ago when many thought the Packers reached to go get Jordan Love. It's not like Jordan Love outside of what, a quarter against Philadelphia, has given you, or like a, did he play the second half 2 years ago against the Lions? There's nothing really that he's given you tangibly to make you change your opinion on, oh, Jordan Love's going to be the star. So I don't think the entire fan base will be on board. I do think they're more accepting of it now, but I don't think that's the entirety of the fan base.
Oh, it's not going to be 100%. It's going to be nowhere near the percentage of fans that were happy to see Brett Favre move on just because of that whole song and dance of retirement. If you're looking for that approval rate or that similar approval rate when the Packers moved off of Brett Favre, you're trying to have that again for Aaron Rodgers, that's going to happen in like 2 years from now when your future could be ruined because you held on Aaron Rodgers too long and his game falls off. If that's when you're waiting to make a move because you want all the fans behind you, you're going to ruin your future.
Well, let me also simplify this for you as well. When your team, or localize it probably for you is the better way to say it. When your team got rid of Peyton Manning, I think it was logical. He's coming off an injury. He had the number one overall pick, and there was a generational talent there. And that's for a generational talent that people viewed Andrew Luck to be. Jordan Love is a major question mark where it's the Mahomes kind of thing. Ever since Mahomes got drafted, everyone tries to find like the 25%, 50% version of Mahomes. And they go, oh, this guy could be somewhat of Patrick Mahomes, right? With the athleticism and the way to move around and the big arm. Like, that's what people tried to talk about Jordan Love. Like, no one said he was Mahomes. They're like, oh, maybe he could be 50% of Patrick Mahomes. I'm sure there were still Colts fans that were annoyed that Peyton Manning didn't finish his career, even though the idea made sense that they were annoyed that Peyton didn't finish his career with the Indianapolis Colts.
I mean, yeah, there's going to be fans for every single team that want to see their legend there in one uniform and want to take the risk, whether it's Peyton Manning coming off a neck injury, or in this case, Aaron Rodgers still hoping that he turns his career around and wins another Super Bowl in Green Bay.
And that's when Luck was the option.
But that's also the part of the reason why you get paid the big bucks if you're a GM of a team. That's why, you have to make the hard decisions. They're not going to be popular, but you will be universally revered if in 3 years Jordan Love is the next big thing. If Aaron Rodgers goes to the Jets or wherever and, kind of just has his career never get back on the same track, and now you are back in Super Bowl contention with a guy like Jordan Love, that's when you get everyone back on your side. If you're looking for 100% approval rating now when you're moving off of him, you're never going to get that for any guy.
Oh, okay, but you're never going to get 100%. I'm like talking about like 20, 30%, like 35%. I'm still sure there was a decent contingency of the Colts fan base that was upset.
Oh, no, there was. I'm saying, but it's just like, it feels like the Packers right now, like I said, if they are waiting, they don't want to be the quote-unquote bad guys. They want Aaron Rodgers to make the first move because they're afraid how the fan base is going to react. Again, I'm not even sure if the people upset with them moving off of Aaron Rodgers would be the majority. At this point, I don't even think that's the case. But also, too, again, you can't be afraid of what fans are going to say or the perception, because how you get judged 5 years from now, that's when you get judged. How this pans out. Where the Packers go from here, where Aaron Rodgers goes. If he goes, wins a Super Bowl, the Jets, and Jordan Love is what we think and not very good, then yeah, you're going to be out of a job and you're going to be, criticized for a long time to go. But it could work the opposite way and you could be one of the best GMs in history.
Oh, it's showing you. There was cojones with Brian Gutekunst 2-3 years ago. And then Gutekunst worked on that relationship with Rodgers. And I do think the irony here is the guy that had cojones when he didn't need to have them 2-3 years ago, now his cojones are kind of like not showing. That's pretty much. Gutekunst is, I don't know if I want to call him a coward here, Hickey, but he's starting to come off that way. And I'll even go back to what Ryan Wood said with us last week. There are some people that are close to the Packers that believe that Gutekunst isn't going to pull the trigger. And that, to me, is now the wild card of this, even though I really do believe that Rodgers won't be on the Packers next year. It does look like Gutekunst is really starting to get some cold feet, and he doesn't want to be perceived as the bad guy. Like, bro, you can't look back now. You already made the move. That's what it's starting to look like to me. Is now Gutekunst is starting to care about his image.
I mean, even last year, the way they kind of ran back to Aaron Rodgers, pleaded for him to stay, like it's like you said, they made the big move for Jordan Love. And then it's like now, I don't know if he regretted it. I don't know if he didn't like the way the reaction, like if he just thought, oh yeah, most fans will agree, like
trying
this is the right to go.
Trying to get the best
of
both worlds. That doesn't work in sports.
Make the hard decision. Mm-hmm. That's why you get paid.
And here's the number one reason why they have to get rid of Rodgers. The Green Bay Packers, even in a weak NFC, if they have Rodgers back next year, what do you see them doing at best? I say the absolute apex of the Green Bay Packers next year is what? If everything goes right for them.
Playoff team. Can I even say division winner? I don't think so right now.
I say if everything goes right, I think at best they can make an NFC title game. Like if you get Rodgers from the back-to-back MVP seasons, like I could see them get into a title game, but I can't see them, even if they get a bye, winning back-to-back playoff games, like, you know, to that level, if that's all they have to do, because they failed there, right? When they had the bye, they win one against the Rams and they lose to Tampa Bay. But then we've seen them as a wild card team before. I know that was the 1 year they won the Super Bowl, but we're now going years and years back. But we've seen them do it both ways, as a division winner that's playing in the wild card round, or we've seen them as a division winner coming off a bye where they failed. So I can't see that. Like, at most, I could see them winning two playoff games, but that would have to be wild card round, divisional round. Like, I don't see them winning divisional round and conference championship round if that's all they had to do.
Yeah, there's no reason to. We've seen Aaron Rodgers on the big stage fall short, underperform, and there's no reason why you think now going, you know, into his age 39 season, it's going to get magically better with the talent around him.
Like, he'll be better next year.
He was not very good last year.
There's no doubt in my mind that Rodgers will have a good season next year. But him having a good, we've seen him have great seasons. And what has it turned into? Guy's had one Super Bowl appearance, one Lombardi trophy. And that was early in his career. You would have never thought that Rodgers, sitting where we are right now, if I told you that night in Dallas when he wins a Super Bowl up against the Steelers that he would have one ring still in the year of 2023, you would say, Gelb, you are out of your bleeping mind. But that was the case. So that's why Gutekunst, you should not care about public perception at this point. You already blew that up a few years ago. Yeah, you mended the relationship. But you got to say to yourself, does Rodgers with us get us to a Super Bowl next year? Forget winning. Just get us to a Super Bowl. And you try to give me the argument how the Packers are in the Super Bowl next year. You can't do it. You'd be saying, hum-da, 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 hum-da. You'd just be bloviating and BSing. And that's why you get what you could get back for him now. And you go to the guy that you believed in 2-3 years ago. And you said at the combine that he's ready to start. So this is easy. This is simple. Don't tell me, we're afraid about the perception. Blah, 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 blah. You know, I'm afraid to be known as the guy that pushed Aaron Rodgers out the door. You already blew that a few years ago. And now you don't want him to be there anymore. So stop this nonsense. Come out tomorrow and just say it's over. It's done. It's finished. We don't want Aaron Rodgers anymore. That is all you have to do. But Gutekunst is trying to make Rodgers say it so he could then go back and go, oh, well, it was Rodgers who wanted to leave. It wasn't us. It was him. Like, come on. It's just petulance here. You started his departure a few years ago. And the fact that after you give the guy a contract, and after 1 year where he was not great, you're ready to move on, it shows you that you never really loved him as much as you claimed a year ago. It's like, this all has to stop, Hickey. It really does.
I couldn't agree more. And even trying to paint it out as, oh, we'll have Aaron Rodgers if he's bought in and all in, and they feel he checked out after he signed the extension again. Even now they're starting to plant the seeds of, again, it's Aaron. Even if we do move off of Aaron Rodgers, it's not our fault. You know, he checked out. He wasn't all in. We need a guy all in, so that's why you have to move off. They're trying their best to not make themselves a bad guy.
Also, Jeremy Fowler says the Ravens have strongly considered using the non-exclusive franchise tag on quarterback Lamar Jackson. We all know the deadline is tomorrow at 4 p.m. Eastern to use that franchise tag. The franchise tag, by the way, if it is non-exclusive, would be $32 million next year, which is $13 million cheaper than the exclusive option. If you have the non-exclusive franchise tag on you, another team get a deal done with Lamar Jackson, and the Ravens could match it. If they don't match it, the Ravens would get back 2 first-round picks. We'll talk more about that coming up later on in the hour at 7:40 p.m. Eastern. But we return on the other side. We know Joe Schoen is a happy guy after seeing the Geno Smith contract. Will the Giants get a deal done with Daniel Jones by tomorrow? Will they have to use the franchise tag on him? And could that mean Saquon Barkley may be walking out the door? We'll do a little QB carousel next as Mraz from the DA Show will join us on the other side.
There's nothing better than feeling comfortable in your own shoes. And that doesn't mean flopping down on the couch with bunny slippers. Maybe you're a parent raising a little rock star, or a tech nomad working from anywhere and jumping from one thing to the next. Whoever you are, Allbirds wants you to be comfortable in your actual shoes, too. Their wool runners, pipers, and loungers are designed for a level of coziness that makes you feel like you can do anything. You might even forget you're wearing them. And their shoes are so stylish, they go perfectly with a wear-whatever-I-want attitude. Allbirds is all about loving Mother Nature, too, because no one wants to leave a bad footprint. Each shoe is carefully crafted from natural materials that tread lightly on our planet. From ZQ-certified merino wool to a bouncy midsole made from sweet foam, the world's first carbon-negative EVA material made from sugarcane. So get comfortable in your shoes. Get to know the wool runners, pipers, and loungers at Allbirds.com. That's Allbirds.com.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show. Super Bowl is over, but the NFL quarterback carousel is just beginning.
You gotta ask yourself a question. Do I feel lucky?
What does the future hold for all 32 NFL teams at the QB position?
Now, I'm going to give you an opportunity to spin this wheel right here.
Let's spin the wheel and find out which teams we hit today. The New York Giants.
Alrighty, so Hickey was swinging and missing like he was Adam Dunn with the White Sox. So we had to settle here for Mraz after we like missed on seven or eight Giants guess. So Sean Mraz joins us, does a great job with what is that podcast called? The One Giant Turn? Well, what is that podcast called?
It's One Giant Step, Zach. And I got to be honest, there is no bigger slight to my ego than Ryan Hickey texting me this morning for other Giants people's contacts, them not getting back to him, and then him coming back to ask me to come on regardless. What an unbelievable whip job by him.
And I knew you would like the line, too, because I think last year when we had you on for this segment, after Hickey back-to-back swung and missed in consecutive years, you go, wow, how many guys did you swing and miss to have us on?
There's no doubt, Zach, but the idea that he actually texted me to get the other guy's contact.
Oh, did he?
Yes, he did. Could you imagine texting me and going, hey, I know all these people are better than you, more connected than you, so can I have their contacts? And they say no, and then saying, by the way, thanks for their contacts or lack thereof. Now, can we just have you on? Well, that's basically the stun Hickey pull.
Well, if you had the under on how long it would take into this conversation to mention I went to Spain over the weekend, Hickey texted me this morning and was saying, who should we go with the Giants? And I was sleeping, you know, recovering from being jet lagged and all that. So there was no chance I was responding to that.
Yeah, and by the way, I was shocked when Hickey actually asked me. I really thought it was for him. Who goes to Barcelona for 3 or 4 days? Can you get a week out of it, Zachy? Come on.
You know, maybe that's in the next contract negotiations. We get 5 more off days from our company. That would be nice,
wow.
Or something like that.
Okay.
But,
all right.
We don't need to start there. I was at a bachelor party, though, which is perfect. We flew in Wednesday night, and we came back on Sunday night. It was the perfect amount of time.
I'm very envious. Enjoy bachelor parties in Barcelona, because eventually when you have kids, life changes quick, Zachy. Changes quick.
Where were you at the Great Wolf Lodge?
How? A little indoor water park. Where else would you rather be in early March?
Did they sell beer at this place?
Of course they do.
Okay.
There's bars and restaurants. And in the water park, yeah, you could crush high noons. You can crush beers. Yeah, believe me, adults need the alcohol to get through it.
And as much as I love you, we'll get to Daniel Jones in just a second and actually talk some Giants. When you do like this kind of job, you try to get away from the job when you are away, but you popped right into my head when I'm walking around Barcelona and I see a meat cone that they served. The
is
meat
that
cone
right?
is the greatest invention ever. Because I always see in the summer, you post in the pictures of you devouring the Mr. Softy cone.
Of course.
I think you could move to Barcelona. And we could open up a meat cone stand.
And what are we? Is it your choice of meats? What are we doing there? A little like carnitas, pork. What are we doing?
Like whatever you want. I would describe
in the same thing as an ice cream cone, like that kind of cone.
Yeah, no, it's like a paper cone. Like, okay. Like, you know, when you were a kid,
you were just walking around instead of needing a fork and knife, you're just gnawing at meat with your hand. Oh, that is tremendous.
Pretty much. Spain and Barcelona pretty much is a human charcuterie board for everyone. That's the way that I would describe it.
Okay.
And it was awesome. I was a fat kid in a candy store.
I love it. Believe me, I am extremely jealous. I got hit with one floating Band-Aid. You got to eat meat cones. So completely different trips.
Don't worry. I'll bring you something nice to Bob's Bar when I have to pay off my bet that I lost.
Hey, college football Saturday, the initial. You know we'll be back. It's not that far off as you think it is.
Well, how about first little Ranger playoff run?
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah. We're trying not to jinx ourselves.
I got
to
get you some. Oh, yeah. You're trying not to jinx. You already said the team's winning the Stanley Cup.
I did that earlier in the year. Now we pull back and we try to forget what I said earlier and we don't jinx them. That's all.
That's a lie. I saw you here in the newsroom before I went to Barcelona the day they got Patrick
Kane. That's in the newsroom. That's not publicly, you big-headed buffoon.
You were on the air saying they're the Stanley Cup. You were reserving your spot at the Canyon of Heroes already.
Did I say that on air? I can't even keep track of what I say anymore. Maybe it's a bad spot.
It's most of the things. And then when Mraz buries himself in a deep hole, he just poops his pants, and then you deviate all the attention away.
I honestly don't remember saying that, but okay.
All righty. So Geno Smith, 3 years, $105 million. Carr, I know it goes out to 37.5. I've seen a Florio article. It's basically 3 years for $100 million. Yeah. Joe Shane has to be happy right now when he negotiates with Daniel Jones.
Well, yes and no, Zach. I mean, you're talking about an average of 37.5 for Derek Carr, who, by the way, I probably like Carr more than most, so this isn't a slight on Carr. But you got to remember what's going to end up being the big factor here is Daniel Jones being 7 years younger than at least both of those guys. So if those guys at 32, when you probably know basically what they are as quarterbacks, and there's still that glimmer of hope that Daniel Jones, we still haven't even seen the best of him yet, you got to think he's going to get north of that. So that could play into the Jones side of things where they start with a high asking price, 47, 48. We've seen some of these numbers, but in reality, they know the idea is to bring the median to right around 40 mil on an average per year.
So if we get a deal done by tomorrow, which I don't think will happen, you think that's going to be what, like a 4 or 5 year deal at 40 per?
Yeah, my guess is, and again, we say 40 per. That doesn't mean a cap hit of 40 per. There's ways to move around the money. But probably on an average around that, I think you're talking about, you know, 195, you know, dare I say 200 mil. Obviously, you add that up. Then what is the guaranteed money, of course? Could this be 140 in guarantees? I think my guess would be the Giants are going to look for a way where there will be some dead cap, but obviously maybe an out after year two or three if it doesn't pan out. Because remember, a lot of people forget Daniel Jones was banged up the 2 years prior, and you still have to see him stay healthy for back-to-back years. But yeah, ultimately, he's going to get a 5 year deal on paper, and he is going to get close to 200 mil, you know, start breaking that up. That's around 40 a year on an average. So I think he's going to be there, Zach. And I also think the reason Jones's camp is playing part in this, and you don't hear a lot of this right now, that Amazon money, the new TV money, whether it's next offseason or the offseason after, the salary cap is going to boom again. I mean, it went up, what, 10, 15 mil this year. There's talk of it going up another 30 or 40 mil within the next 2 years. And if it does that, well, Jones's camp has to be sitting there going, well, this is why we want more money now. Because honestly, for mediocre quarterbacks, 40 mil is going to be the norm in 2 years.
Does Jones have any leverage here?
He does and he doesn't.
It seems like the Giants have more leverage.
The Giants definitely have more leverage because of the franchise tag and the non-exclusive franchise tag, where it will cost them for a one-year deal, a $32 million cap hit, which seems like a lot of money. But if you actually look at the Giants cap, which they still haven't restructured, a couple deals they're going to restructure, they will still have money to do a couple other things, including get a wide receiver should they want one. They actually will not be totally strapped on cap beyond that. And ultimately, go play on a prove-it year. Nobody's going to give up two first-round picks for him in the non-exclusive deal. Where the Giants lost some leverage is Joe Shane in the immediacy of the end of the season. I think made a rookie GM mistake, or now a second-year GM mistake, in basically openly declaring, we're going to talk to Daniel's camp. Daniel's going to be a Giant. Daniel's going to be the quarterback, where he was less strong on that with Saquon. And I think if he was just speaking about everybody was a free agent saying, you know, we want them back, that's something. But he went out of his way to make sure to declare that Daniel Jones is going to be the quarterback. If you declare that and sell it to the fan base, well, Daniel Jones's camp's got to be rubbing their hands together going, you just said we're going to be back, so now pay us.
And that was the big shift that we heard from Shane, because I had him on, I think it was after the London trip. I think that did go into a bye week as well. And for a quarterback that's playing really well in Daniel Jones, they said how much they liked him, but they wouldn't guarantee anything for next year. So that was a big difference. But here's the part where I think Jones could have some leverage. is if they use the franchise tag on Daniel Jones, if Saquon gets the open market, I actually think he's going to be gone.
Honestly, maybe this is an unpopular opinion from Giant fan world, Zach, but that might be the saving grace of this whole thing if you're the Giants.
Wow.
Getting Daniel Jones on the franchise tag and not being able to use it on Saquon Barkley might prevent the Giants from a colossal mistake of tagging Saquon and then feeling a little public pressure to negotiate a longer-term deal. I mean, you're hearing today, right, the Titans are shopping Derrick Henry. We see the Tony Pollard tag going on in Dallas and their disaster of a contract that is Zeke. The Saints are over the cap after signing Derek Carr. Does that mean Kamara is going to stick around? The 49ers only were able to afford Christian McCaffrey's contract because they have two quarterbacks on rookie deals. Time in and time out, it's proven. Even the best of running backs in the NFL, they're not winning Super Bowls with these teams when you pay them big money. It's not the right way to allocate resources. And honestly, the Giants might feel pressure. He sells a lot of jerseys. He was such a big part of the offense, but they would be better off with a running back by committee and using $10 million plus on a big-time wide receiver a la DeAndre Hopkins, Chris Godwin, Mike Evans, insert whatever trade partner here. In a weird way, the Daniel Jones franchise tag could save the Giants from themselves when it comes to Saquon Barkley.
That's why I wonder, because I do think there would be a lucrative market for Saquon if he could just stay healthy. I think people see the upside.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't know how much Daniel Jones would get on the open market and how many teams would be interested. That's why I don't think they would franchise tag Saquon and then let Jones hit the open market. But I wonder if maybe that's the way that they should go.
Yeah, see, that's the only problem with that, Zach, is this is such a league where the desperation for quarterbacks are there and spin the freaking carousel. I mean, you're hearing what the Eisen report today with, could Brady come out and play for Miami?
Philip Rivers. It's been like 2 years.
And now whatever you take your biases on, if you don't like Daniel Jones, you like Daniel Jones out of the equation. The guy just was good enough to win a playoff game.
Yes.
In this conference and is 25 years old. 25 years old. I mean, we saw Kirk Cousins, you know, I know he throws for a lot of yards, get all that guaranteed money. There will be a suitor if it doesn't come to having to give up draft picks for Daniel Jones that will pay him, in my opinion, $40 million, maybe even if it's on a three-year deal, if it's something like $120 million and they go something crazy guaranteed. Jones will have suitors. I don't think the Giants can flirt with that.
And if you do let Jones walk, because this is the tricky part with Jones, he showed last year he could be a good quarterback. I still don't know what the ceiling is.
Sure.
But I am intrigued to see him again because he was thrown to a bunch of no-names last year. If you let him go walk to a place and he goes in an advantageous situation, sure,
yeah.
Daboll was really important, but he could though thrive somewhere else, and he'll have better weapons somewhere else.
A place you used to love, Zach, Daniel Jones, a Carolina boy, grew up a Panther fan. Frank Reich hired there, who, you know, he would love to cut the line and not have to deal with developing a quarterback. That's a team to keep your eye on. If you don't tag Jones and you let him hit the open market, he might even feel more disrespected. Why wouldn't he go back home and go play for a team he think he can immediately win a division for?
You know, a smooth job out of you. I'll give you credit. You said the football team's name that I can't pronounce two questions ago or two responses ago. Now you throw in a little Matt Rule Carolina Panthers jab there. A
lot of Easter eggs, Zach. A lot of Easter eggs tonight.
Yeah. It just shows you, by the way, how creative Mraz was able to be on his vacation that he was at. Probably a lot of downtime. You're in the pool just wondering what your material is going to be for the next 2 months.
Zach, no question. I sit in the shower and come up with material. You think I'm already working on hockey nicknames for Canadian bacon here.
Yeah, that's a bad sight. Nothing will top your Igor Shesterkin song that you did last year.
Yeah, day. Igor Shesterkin, let me work it.
Last thing I'll ask you, how does this play out? Jones on the tag, do they get a long-term deal done? How does this shake on out?
They will get a long-term deal done, but after the tag has already been issued. He will start opening day next year under a long-term deal. In the meantime, they will have wasted the tag, and I believe that Saquon Barkley is likely the opening day running back for the Buffalo Bills come September.
Oh, okay. I thought Henry could wind up in Buffalo.
He could. And
maybe
look,
Philadelphia, too.
That's the other thing. I know we didn't touch on this too much when we talk about Barkley. I still think Barkley ends up in Buffalo. They could flirt with it, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
But there is going to be a flooded market. Everybody's already talking about how deep this draft is with running backs. And you're talking about now Henry and Barkley could both be available. Who knows if Zeke gets cut in Dallas? That's the one thing working against Saquon here. But I have a funny feeling we end up saying goodbye to Saquon as a result of all this madness.
And I'll give you a take maybe for tomorrow. How about a dark horse to land Derrick Henry? Cowboys, Pollard on the tag, then they cut Zeke and they go get Derrick Henry.
I mean, is this what we're doing with their resources here? this is what we're doing?
I mean, if there's the big star available, you know Jerry Jones would be willing to do it.
They don't care
about winning in Dallas. They just care about storylines.
Go get a wide receiver. I mean, my goodness. You know what? I rub my hands together today, and as a fan of a team in the Cowboys division, if they want to go allocate resources to Derrick Henry.
Is Odell on the Giants?
No.
No, not coming back.
No, not coming back. I think Mara was probably turned off by the video of the airplane. And I think we haven't talked about that.
And by the way, even though your lasagna tweet to me was really offensive, I do have to ask you one food
thing. To be fair, can I be honest? I also said that when I thought I was coming on with Hickey.
Oh.
To be honest.
So you were planning on ruining my vacation with some crappy tweets by you.
I absolutely was. Yeah. It was a hit and run. I didn't think you were here.
Okay. Last thing I'll ask you, though. I saw you liked my Girl Scout cookie order. What are your three favorite Girl Scout cookies?
Well, my three favorite, I love the newer one that came out last year, that caramel in the middle of the chocolate. I don't know if I saw those.
Is that
there.
With the brownie?
Yes.
That's what I got. I got one of those, I think.
I didn't love your, I'm not a big lemon guy in general. You had that yellow pack. I forgot what the heck they call
them. Yeah, lemon ups. Neither am I, but I had to order a certain amount for the shipping to go, and I just took one of those. And there's another caramel one. That's very popular, but it wasn't available.
Samoa's people love. To me, the top three, I think that new one with the caramel brownie, the tag-along, a.k.a. peanut butter patty, is just unbelievable. You put that in the fridge, a little snap. It's so, so freaking good. And I'm going to say, honestly, it's still kind of a new player as well. The s'mores of a couple years ago,
I think is tremendous.
A phenomenal cookie. And honestly, I really, really, really view the Thin Mint a lot like Tom Brady. Look, you won a lot of championships. At some point, hanging up. We're done with the Thin Mints.
Oh, I was going to say the Thin Mints. I'm trying to think of like an overrated quarterback. But that to me is, I'm not a big fan of Thin Mints.
You know what? The Thin Mints are probably a lot like Hickey, a very overrated producer, as the very reach for guests here late on a Monday. I mean, you had all week, Hickey. Come up with something here.
Wow. How about that? Shots being fired by Sean Mraz. You can, of course, hear him on the DA show. He fills it on the Fan. And what are you doing, like 9,000 shows now on BetQL?
I'll be doing You Better You Bet on Wednesday afternoon. One giant step. Download it everywhere on the Odyssey app. Basically, I'm a utility guy for Odyssey. Find me everywhere. I'm Ben Zobrist.
Good job, Joe McEwing. Thanks so much.
All right. Later, guys.
There you go. Mraz joining us, doing a little QB carousel, talking about the Giants and just taking shots at Hickey. How about that, Hickey? Anything you got to say there?
I mean, look, I'm glad he came on. He helped me out. Everyone else is saying no. What do you want me to do? It's not my fault.
Not your fault. I don't know.
How's it my fault? Say no. What am I supposed to do?
I know, but just pushing the blame there. I don't think that's a great response, if I'm being honest with you.
I'm not pushing blame. I'm just being honest.
Yeah, I think you got to develop the relationship stronger with the members of the New York media.
I'm trying. It didn't work today, but I got one strong enough relationship right there with Sean Marash. So yes. That's all I need.
Big time Giants insider.
Sean, it's not about being first. It's about being the right choice. That's all that matters.
And I will say, Sean, I thought was the right choice. It was a fun conversation.
So it worked out in the end.
Mm-hmm. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come on back. We'll do a little news brief.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show. For your daily news brief, we get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
You can think of Riley Auto Parts for your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Let's go to the Rich Eisen show, where Rich says that Philip Rivers tried to return to the NFL in 2022.
Two teams that were quarterback needy at the end of the season, referring to the Miami Dolphins and, of course, the San Francisco 49ers. I heard at the Combine, number 5 on this list.
You heard.
That Philip Rivers contacted both of them to come back late last year.
Oh.
Philip called them?
Philip Rivers contacted both of them is what I heard, and that's the way I heard it.
So, two things off of that. Number one, do I believe that Philip Rivers contacted those two teams? Absolutely. But then the second part about that, I understand why the Niners said no. Now, I don't know how early it was when Brock Purdy was playing, but if it was like a few games into the Brock Purdy, if you want to say era, I guess they like what they saw, and they've really seen the system be the reason why the Niners have been able to win so many games. But if you're the Dolphins, outside, and this is a big part of it, how quickly can you put a quarterback in with barely knowing the playbook? But Josh Dobbs pretty much went to Tennessee, and he was their best quarterback player they could get. Why wouldn't the Dolphins say yes? Like, that's the confusing part to me about that, Hickey.
I guess the only reason I would surmise that if you're going to Phillip Rivers, you're basically shutting the door on a Tua return, and they never officially kind of, it was still like week to week, even though we kind of figured he's not returning.
But we all knew Tua wasn't coming back.
Right, but the Dolphins were still taking it week by week, so I don't know if they were holding out hope that he could return if, let's just say, they won in Buffalo. Now, we know that's not the case because he's in the concussion protocol for another month after the season. I don't think they had any hope that he'll return maybe if they beat Buffalo in the second round of the playoffs. I have no idea.
Okay.
But they just were not as committal to him, basically his season being over, as we all thought when you kind of see the last concussion, how it happened.
Because we found out, and it was late in the year because that was Christmas.
Christmas Day.
When he suffered the concussion, but no one knew it until after the game anyway. And then in that New England game, was that where Bridgewater got hurt? I want to say it was in that New England game.
The next week, yes. Yeah. And then because Skylar Thompson
came in.
Started the final two games against the Jets and then in the playoff game.
Yeah, at that, so it had to have been after the New England game, or maybe it was after the Green Bay game, because Bridgewater's a solid backup in this league. So it was probably after that Green Bay game where he reaches out. If I'm the Dolphins, I would have said yeah. Would have been for maybe the earliest, that New England game, the Jet game, and then the playoff game. I don't get why the Dolphins said no there.
Now, I will say he's 41, and he hasn't played at that point in 2 years, since 2020.
But so look, it's at your other like, options. Not like
I get it.
Creme de la creme
I
options
get it.
Here.
But it's not like Phillip Rivers is still fresh and coming off a year where he missed, like, you know, he played in 2021 even recently. He hasn't played in 2 years.
Okay.
It's a long time.
He coaches high school football.
Yes.
So he's running around on the football field. He's 9 kids.
He does. I'm
sure he's in game shape right now.
Well, that you might be
Have
right
you
about.
Have you seen some of the
Chasing
quarterbacks that they put out on the
around.
Field? Come on. There's some garbage quarterbacks. You don't think Phillip Rivers, who had a good year his final year in Indianapolis, you know that.
Oh, I do.
Could have come back and still play?
Exact situation in week 17, after not playing for 2 years, does he give him the best chance to win after not knowing the playbook? I can't say yes.
Now, Skylar Thompson played horribly in a playoff game, but I think he gives him a better option than Skylar Thompson. Remember, you got Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill there. It's like, why don't I throw a
with the noodle arm of Phillip Rivers.
Oh. You, that's the quarterback that intimidated you the most.
I like Phil, but I'm just saying.
Well, I don't know how much you like him. You don't think he's a Hall of Famer.
I think it's just trying to be fair.
Rich Eisen then also says Tom Brady could return in 2023.
Number one rumor I heard at the Combine, Tom Brady may not be done after all.
What?
It's a couple people are like, just hang on. Just you wait.
Wait for
and
what?
I'm like,
what
I'm are like, you I'm, waiting I'm, for? I'm like, he's Instagramming out videos of his cat. And the one place that folks are saying keep an eye out for is Miami. And if the Dolphins cannot somehow, if they get somehow, some way, a doctor's report, a piece of information from a medical evaluation of Tua that he may not be ready to go, and suddenly there's Tom Brady sitting in Florida where his family is located and where he can easily locate himself. Keep an eye on that, I was told by a couple of birdies.
I don't think that would surprise anyone. I think there's two places Brady could be playing football next year if he elects to return. If the Niners call him, he would 100% do it. I just don't think the Niners will call him because if Purdy's not ready to go, they invested a lot in Trey Lance. That Miami one, though, it is plausible. I know Tua has since cleared concussion protocol. But if he gets back in it, or if doctors don't think he's good enough to play, Brady tried to go to Miami 2 years ago. And I know Stephen Ross always has like had that connection being a Michigan man. So that wouldn't shock me whatsoever if Brady's going to the Dolphins.
That one makes more sense. To his injury history, like I said, you're living in Miami. If he truly wants to be near his family, which you had reports kind of before when it was about the Raiders and their interest, that he doesn't want to leave his family and go to the West Coast. Makes sense. It's kind of right in your backyard.
It also could happen in season.
Also, right. Tua gets hurt week three.
Yeah. Now, Brady's a lot of family in the Bay Area. That's where he's from. But you're talking about his kids now.
Right. Immediate family.
Yeah. They're living in Miami with Giselle, who I unfollowed, by the way, on Instagram in support of Tom.
But would date if she came calling.
Oh, absolutely.
She's looking good this weekend.
Do you think I'd have to unfollow Tom if I started dating Giselle?
I don't think you have to be worried about that. He might block you.
Yeah, I don't think. Sorry, Giselle. I don't think I can date you.
Now you're out on that? Giselle walks in the studio right now, and she says, Zach, you're looking great. I need a man in my life. You're the one I want.
Could it be a one-night stand that no one finds out about?
No. Whole world knows.
I would have to contemplate it.
You have the same famousness, if that's a word, as her trainer.
Oh, actually, you know what? I would say yes.
Yeah, but I hope you say yes.
Under one contingency. No prenup. In case if she gets tired of me, which will happen, I can have some retirement money.
Smart. Forgets that point. Smart.
Spike, I'm putting in my 2 weeks. I'm leaving. Giselle's calling, according to Hickey. Also, Ravens Executive Vice President Ozzie Newsome says the Ravens will try everything possible to get a deal done with Lamar before tomorrow's franchise tag deadline. This is on the Bernie Kosar show.
The biggest thing is that we have a deadline tomorrow at 4 o'clock to put the tag on. And I know today and up until about 3:30 tomorrow, a lot of energy is going to be utilized in trying to get the deal done. And if not, we will put the franchise tag on him.
And I would want it to be an exclusive franchise tag if I was a Ravens fan. I saw Jeremy Fowler talk about the non-exclusive franchise tag, and Lamar won't play on that, but if he does, it would be $32 million, which is about $13 million cheaper than the exclusive option. But on the non-exclusive tag, if another team gets a deal done and you don't match it, all you get back is 2 first-round picks. I don't know how much the Ravens actually want Lamar at this stage, Hickey. That's why I think that's a gamble, because I don't know how likely they're going to match that contract. And I would imagine, not imagine, I would know that they could get more than 2 first-round picks for Lamar Jackson.
The Packers and the Ravens are on the same boat. They have franchise quarterbacks. They don't want them. And they also don't want to say, we don't want you. So playing a game of chicken PR in order to make it seem like they want them. But they're also, I think, hoping that their quarterback does kind of become the enemy and force their way out.
I think the Ravens, though, want Lamar at their price. But I don't think their price is reasonable
which
for
is,
a guy
right,
of his
not
stature.
Realistic. I would agree with that, which is then also kind of saying we don't want him then.
We don't want him at the price that he wants. And it doesn't seem like those two sides are anywhere close. Do you think he's on an exclusive tag or non-exclusive tag tomorrow?
I would say non-exclusive because that you can get more in return when you do trade him. It's on your terms.
Wait, so you think he's on the non-exclusive tag?
No, exclusive, because means you can trade him, and it's not that you can trade him for 3 first. Like, you get more than non-exclusive is 2 first-rounders.
We're
first
on the same page. I thought you said you think he'll be on the non-exclusive tag, because that, to me, would be stupid. I think you exclusively tag him, and then if you can't get a long-term deal worked out, which you're not, then you start to trade him this offseason. All right, onside's offside. Next, 5 questions, 5 answers when we return in 5 minutes.